Lord, save us, we perish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The seminary retreat in Florida last week was dedicated to the patron saint of priests, the Curé of Ars, as he is called, but St. Jean-Marie Vianney as a youth especially and as a seminarian. His experience was a bit like ours, to grow up in a very disruptive, revolutionary age. The French Revolution had officially abolished the old Catholic Church to replace it with a new religion to which all of the priests had to swear allegiance or face arrest and death. And for the young man who aspired to the priesthood, it was a long and a difficult path to the altar. The first generation of priests who served you here in the late 70s and early 80s, and who still do today after the revolution of Vatican II, Bishop Sanborn, Father Cicada, and myself, for example, had to face a different kind of persecution. Fortunately, the guillotine was not involved, but still many difficulties to be ordained. I remember attending high school at the Minor Seminary in Detroit in the late 1960s. One English class in particular, English literature, the professor was a priest, and as teachers will, he got off the subject one day to denounce traditionalists. Why pray, he asked rhetorically, why pray in Latin? And then turning to me, he said, why, I bet you couldn't even come up with one prayer in Latin. So I said, the first thing off the top of my head is from today's gospel. Domine salva nos perimus. Lord, save us, we perish. Not missing a beat, the priest said. Now, isn't that just typical of you conservatives? It's always Chicken Little and the sky is falling in and everything is all dark and fearful. Actually, that is a prayer which is highly esteemed by the Catholic Church. It was the prayer of the apostles, and there is an indulgence of 500 days, I learned later, for reciting it. Now, you know the reason why we do pray in Latin. This sacred language is ancient and unchanging, like the Church herself, and preserves the exact meaning of the apostles' words and teachings, whereas living modern languages are always changing themselves, shades of meaning. Furthermore, we pray in Latin because, well, prayer is directed up to Almighty God, who knows Latin very well, and not to men. And our sacred formula, furthermore, are sanctified down the ages by centuries of devotion. But we also have the Mass in Latin because of the universality of this tongue. It is the language of the Catholic Church. Everywhere throughout the world where Mass is offered in the Roman Rite, the same words, the same Latin language. Why? We are Catholic, as we profess in the Creed, I believe in the Catholic Church. This is the third of the Church's four marks. Today's saint, Francis de Sales, as a newly ordained priest, volunteered to go as a missionary to a region which had lost the faith during the Protestant Reformation. It was nearby, on the shores of Lake Geneva, the Chablis region. And there, he started to make converts by explaining these distinguishing characteristics of the true Church, the four marks. One holy, Catholic, and apostolic answer the question of which religion should I follow. And this he did in a characteristically kindly, yet also straightforward and clear fashion. Sometimes he wrote out meticulously by hand. They didn't have copiers and all of that back then. What he wanted to say, a little paragraph or two, and he slipped it under doors of people. Sometimes these same announcements and explanations were posted in public places. Now, he got attention for himself, and he faced certain danger. There were several attempts at assassination. And then came the financial problems. His father, a nobleman, didn't want his son exposed to those threats, and he withdrew his financial support. How was he going to eat? How was he going to equip himself? And even there were wolves sometimes in the winter, and one night in particular, he was treed by the wolves, and he spent the night clinging to a branch, waiting for the dawn. And winter weather, at a certain point, in order to offer his Mass every day, to get from the Protestant back to the Catholic region, the only way was to cross a river, and the only way to cross it was balancing himself on a frozen, icy log, and this he did. You think you face difficulties with the weather. Lord, save us, we perish. These words must often have been on his lips. But he taught, he persevered, and by the end he had converted 72,000 Protestants back to traditional Catholicism. What does it mean to say that, well, we are Catholic? It's a Greek word, and the Greek word that means according to the whole, which means universal. So, for example, Catholic, small c, would mean you have sort of universal tastes. I like country music, but I also like classical, Mozart and Beethoven, or I like a wide variety of different cuisines, of different kinds of food. That's to be Catholic, small c. Catholic, large, capital C, takes us, though, all the way back to the time of the apostles and all the way up to the end of the world and the day of judgment. I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. And so we are called sometimes the old church because, well, our church is old. The Novus Ordo church is just about 50 years old, but has already grown very dated. Whereas if someone were to come to us today, this morning, in our midst, from the 5th or the 10th or the 15th century, he would feel perfectly at home with this Mass, this Latin Mass, and our discipline and our doctrine. But if he were to have the bad fortune of wandering into some Novus Ordo church, why, all would be confusion. What are those women doing on the altar? And say, where's the altar? Going therefore, our Lord says to the apostles, teach ye all nations. We are Catholic according to place. So St. Paul, he converts Gentiles, and St. Peter, Jews, but then ends up in Rome. And St. Thomas went to India, and beyond even came, they say, to the Americas, and St. James, Spain, and so forth. Teach ye all nations, all conditions, all cultures, all kinds of people. She, Holy Mother Church, is perfectly adaptable because our faith fits human nature everywhere and always. The appeal of Catholicism is universal. It answers aspirations. It meets the needs of men. Something clicks with people in the traditional Catholic faith. And why not? God, who made us, also established the Catholic Church. The Church then, explained St. Francis, to a country which had only recently left it for the new religion, is Catholic according to place. The Gospel's preached everywhere in the world. She is Catholic by her constitution, not limited to a particular place. You know how the Protestant churches would be divided up according to nationality. The Church of England or of Finland or of Norway, and the Greeks and the Russians or the Serbs all have their own so-called Orthodox churches. In America, very often, the fundamentalists or Pentecostalists have a southern accent because that's the church and the culture of their origin. Sometimes you get a country twang, too. But we speak Latin. We speak the universal language of the ages. In Mexico, sometimes you see sort of a little postage stamp of America in a Mormon church. They're all built exactly the same way, and it's so striking because it's not part of those people's life or culture. But if you want to be an American, you can join that American church. The Catholic Church is for everyone, however, and it is found everywhere. And throughout the whole of the world, there are all languages and all cultures for all kinds of people, rich and poor and middle class. The millionaire could kneel, and often has, next to a pauper at the communion rail, and some little Mexican Indian illiterate from Oaxaca state could attend with devotion the same mass as a great professor of languages or of literature. In the United States, the Protestants, if they went to church, used to choose a church that more or less fit their class, education, their wealth. The upper class had the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian, and the lower, perhaps the Baptists or the Pentecostals. Now it depends a little bit more upon fashion and style, especially upon entertainment offered in the mega churches, the quality of the band, the preaching, oh, and don't forget the coffee. The modern church is no different. It follows the styles of the ages and can hardly be said to be universal. You could still find one church, as some of our former members have, which is almost like the traditional way. They have a mass in Latin, but there's always something to give it away. Whereas the next church, under that same authority of the Novus Ordo, why, the next church cheerily follows everything totally up to date, and the Ten Commandments now pretty much out the window. The organ dealer who provided us with our most recent instrument told us that just last Sunday in Cleveland, they were all treated to a sermon full of quotes from one of the latest saints, Mahatma Gandhi. Ah, dear friends, by their marks you shall know them. The revolution of Vatican II, it is true, has temporarily made such progress as almost to obscure the true faith in many places, if not most. And so we pray when we see the waves rise, Lord, save us, we perish. An unprecedented crisis is ours, directed, managed from Rome itself, as prophesied. But facts, you know, as they say, facts are a stubborn thing. I have only one question for them who follow the new way. How can you still claim to believe in the Holy Catholic Church? That would be us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.